She's April. Nope. That's
She hell. Is April. And I'm not Molly. And we are
Oh fucking hell. I don't do things fast.
The tentacles are where? Wet and wild winter.
You're gonna get what you came for.
But I felt like she was a simp. She just use it. Just use it. Just go with it. That's where we're at today.
That's the intro.
That's the intro. Use it, Tom.
I'm April. I'm April.
I'm not Molly.
Yeah. That's Nurse Katie filling in for Molly, who has lost her voice. And you know what? Facebook Memories has reminded me, hashtag not sponsored, that we had to do this like a year ago, too. And awesome. The year before that. 3 years in a row. And it's always been, yeah, it's been, Molly's been, lost her voice, so.
Well, her whole damn family got that pneumonia, so.
Pneumonia. Like, you're a fucking nurse, Katie.
Have you seen the video of the four, I think it's like three or four black guys sitting in a car, and they're like, what about that pee and pneumonia? Right? And then they're like, what about that pee and pterodactyl? That needs to be in the Linky Loos.
Okay, so, I'll try to find it. Sammy and I were reading a book that had a pteranodon in it, and he was like calling it pee pteranodon. And I was like, it's just pteranodon. He's like, but there's a pee. And I was like, the pee is silent. He's like, peas are never silent. I was like, it's not English.
It's all Latin. I'm sorry. Yeah.
Speaking of Sammy, he has strep throat. So on Tuesday, I came home from work and he told me that he had a little bit of a headache, and I, you know, did the mom thing with the wrist and the forehead. And I was like, well, buddy, you feel a little warm. Are you hungry? He was like, yeah, I'm hungry. I was like, okay, well, let's eat. And then I'll take your temperature and I'll give you some Tylenol and, you know, the things. And his fever never really got that high. It was always, you know, kind of just barely a fever. But he stayed home from school on Wednesday and Thursday. And on Wednesday, Tom took him to the doctor. And the doctor did swabs for strep, COVID, and flu. And circling back, the reason I wanted him to go to the doctor, even though it was like day one of him being sick, was because also on Tuesday, we got an email from the school that there was a strep outbreak at the school.
Yep.
So I was like, okay, well, this is probably what this is. So he tested negative for all of it. Mm-hmm. Fast forwarded to Friday. They sent out for cultures, and something like 4% of patients get missed with strep. Yep. So my son's a motherfucking unicorn because he has strep.
So I am a strep carrier. So as an adult, I had strep throat like 4 times in a row. And my primary care was like, okay, this is not normal for an adult to have this.
Right.
So I finished antibiotics. They swabbed me and I was still positive. So I like, just as soon as I get that, like in my throat, I have a good relationship with my PCP now that he'll just send in the antibiotics for me. They don't even swab me anymore. Cause I will always
test
positive. Yeah.
Like, did you have it a lot as a kid? Is that?
I didn't. That's the thing. Like, I didn't start having it frequently until after I had my kids. Like, I had worked in an ICU. Yeah. I had been exposed to all kinds of stuff. I still have my tonsils and adenoids, and I don't ever want to have them out as an adult because that's like one of the worst, most painful surgeries I've ever seen a patient recover from. And I'm like, yeah, really? No, oh my gosh. Because like as kids, you get popsicles. Hell yeah. Like it probably hurts, but you get popsicles and you get to lay around in bed.
They only wanted to give me green Jell-O, not the red Jell-O, because they needed to check for bleeding. But my grandmother worked in the cafeteria, so I got the motherfucking red Jell-O.
Oh, I bet the nurses hated you. Yeah.
I don't care.
But yeah, no, as an adult, there's like 2 surgeries I would never voluntarily have as an adult. One of them is a tonsillectomy and adenoidectomy, and the other one is a hemorrhoidectomy because that's exceedingly terrible. Painful too. So okay,
I had to have a fissure repair. That sucks.
Yeah, it just lots of things hurt down there. So
yeah. So Sam's been having trouble sleeping because he's coughing and he's got the sore throat and all this stuff. So he said he wanted to snuggle with me, but I was like, buddy, I can't because I've got to film the pod. And he was like, okay. I was like, why don't you just sit in the chair beside me? So he's sitting on the arm of the recliner, and that little booger fell asleep in like 5 seconds. And I was holding him onto the chair, armchair, so he wouldn't fall off.
And fall I'm texting, on those hardwood floors you have.
Right. And I'm texting Tom with one hand, like, hey, when you're done with D&D, I really need your help. 10 minutes later, he comes downstairs, and I'm still, like, trying to read one-handed while holding Sammy, who's snoring.
Aww.
And I'm like, I can't get out of the chair, because if I do, he's going to fall. I can't move him. He's going to fall. So Tom had to, like, pick him up, put him on the couch. He fell right back asleep.
Buddy.
Yeah, poor kid. Did they start school tomorrow.
No. Oh, because of Veterans Day? Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because we're filming, you know, it's wibbly-wobbly, timey-wimey.
Timey-wimey, yep. Mm-hmm. Well, we had a pretty busy weekend. My kids, both of my girls do theater at their high school, and they did a show called Puffs, which is like a spin on Harry Potter. It was so funny. Like, I finally got to watch it today, and I was, like, cackling at a couple parts. So my oldest, Leah, does stuff on stage, she acts, and then my youngest, Chloe, does crew. So it was good.
I love that.
Yeah, it was fun. And then we tore down the set, and then we had a little bit of an emergency when the kids had like a really bad bloody nose. And the theater mom, her name's Char, she was like, Katie! And I'm like, Steve, I'm like, come with me. So it was fun. I had blood everywhere, but I was like, it's fine.
I mean, you can't be like, you can't be in better hands than Nurse Katie and paramedic Steve.
Right. Yeah. Like, it was pretty great. The janitor came in and she was like, you know, you're supposed to hold pressure on the nose. And we're like,
no, you're not.
We're good. You're not supposed to, but thank you. So we got this shit on lock. So, yeah. So, yeah.
I've been getting a lot of nosebleeds because of my blood thinner, but... Mm-hmm. I am officially blood clot free. So
whoop, whoop.
I know. So
keep it that way, man.
I'm a motherfucking unicorn. 2% of people that have the factor 5 mutation that I do will have a blood clot occurrence, and I've had two.
One more and you get lifelong anticoagulation. You know that?
I'm not fucking doing that. They're like, if you have to have surgery again, please come here and we'll get you prepped
beforehand. Yes.
Yeah. He was like, are you gonna have any more kids? And I was like, oh no, sir, that is not, nope. First of all, I'm almost 43. We do not need more babies in this house.
Mm-mm. We don't want no more babies in this house. At 43, no. Hard stop. Mm-mm. Oof.
Mm-mm.
No.
Gosh.
Everybody can pee, poop, feed themselves. I now have one that can drive.
I mean, my oldest can mostly do those things, but, you know, he doesn't have the best hygiene. It's an autistic trait.
But he's also a boy, too, so, yeah.
I know, gosh. Sammy's already needing to start wearing deodorant. He stinks. I'm like, dude. Gross.
So much fun.
Well, I guess we should probably talk about why we're here. So this is going to be a little bit of a... This is going to be a little bit of a different episode because we're going to be talking about this book, Cinderella is Dead by Kaylin Bayron. I don't know if I'm saying her name right, but it's how it's phonetically spelled. And Molly and I both love this book, and Katie read it very quickly. And Katie, did you like it?
I didn't. Like, I kept waiting for the part that you guys were, like, in love with the whole time I was reading it. And then I was done, and I was like, Did I read the same book that they did? Because
we can get into it a little bit, but I do feel like there were parts that like they needed work, especially the ending needed work.
Oh, good gravy!
Yeah. But how about a synopsis?
Please and thank you.
Cinderella is Dead is a really interesting dystopian, not according to Katie, a really interesting dystopian twist on the classic fairy tale. The story follows Sophia 200 years after Cinderella died, attending a similar ball in the late queen's honor. Only this ball will not end in a happy ending for Sophia, who will be forced into a marriage with a man she doesn't know, despite the fact that she is a lesbian in love with her best friend. But the evil King Manfred has set the strictest of rules regarding the rules of women and left zero room for disagreeing. As such, every year a ball is held and must be attended by all 16-year-old girls, where men of all ages take their pick or picks and marry them.
Ew.
When Sophia runs away from the ball, she finds out she is not alone in her hatred of the king or his wicked ways. In fact, she meets Constance in the very tomb where Cinderella's body lays. And Constance just happens to be a relative of the beloved queen. And she may be the key to defeating the evil king once and for all. If only they can convince the witch in the woods to help them. Stop rolling your eyes. I still maintain it's because you read it in a day.
My speed of reading has nothing to do with the shitness of a book, that they are not proportional. I will say, I love that the Libby app tells you how long it takes you to read a book. So, mm-hmm. And it was... Because yes, I downloaded it on the Libby app, hashtag support local libraries. 4 hours and 32 minutes over the last 2 days. So
how the fuck do you do that?
It's my superpower.
It really is.
All right.
It really is. And I feel like this is something that I didn't know about you until like maybe the last couple of years.
Yeah.
Because like even when we were like teens, because we went to the same middle school and high school, for those of you listening that don't know this, Katie and I have known each other for a very long time. I don't even think I knew you were a reader.
Mm-hmm. Yep. I've always been a huge reader and just always been able to read very fast. And in grad school, it helped a ton because I could.
Bet.
But, and sometimes I can retain great. And sometimes I'll read something and I'll be like, I have no idea what I just read. But then when I read it again, I was like, oh, okay. Those words do sound familiar. But so.
I mean, even when at the pace that I read, I still am like, I have no idea what I just read. Sometimes.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah. But I'm not sure, like I was not a reader when we were in school. So I really enjoyed reading. And part of the reason I became an English teacher was because I wanted to be the English teacher that inspired kids to read and not so much the one that like made them read things they didn't want to read.
Yeah.
And then I fucking became the English teacher that made them read things they don't want to read, because that's the reality of being a high school English teacher.
Yeah.
But I was reading for school. So I read the books that we were required to read. And then I was a language arts education major. So I was reading constantly in college. Most of the time I was reading 3 or 4 books at one time. It was really difficult because all my classes were lit classes.
Mm-hmm.
But the book series that got me back into really reading for fun and not just reading for my classes was the Left Behind series, of all series.
Yep. I remember reading that one. I was working in the SICU and I worked 3 p.m. to 3 a.m. Mm-hmm. And our 3 to 11 ward clerk started them and we like all passed them around. And that was a good series. I think
it was. I never finished it.
Oh, and it had a good ending. It had a really good ending.
So
yeah.
I stopped with the penultimate book, so the one before the last book, because Chloe was my favorite character.
Like, yeah.
Hands down favorite character. And someone let it slip that she dies.
She dies.
And I was like, nope, she's not going to die. So end of book series.
No, it was good. It was one of those that like, I'm super glad when I read them, they were all out, because I could not. That would not be.
Oh, yeah. That's like, what my situation
let me
was
wait.
Too.
And let me wait a year to get this. But no, those, they were really good. I really enjoyed those ones. So.
And here's the thing. I tried to reread them recently, like maybe a year or two ago. And I was like, this is corny as fuck. So
sometimes our tastes change
significantly. Well, I also think, and this is one of the things Molly and I talk about on here a lot, just because of how frequently we read for pod, like we've become more like mature connoisseurs of literature.
Yep. Yeah,
as I'm currently reading this smut.
I've heard it's good though. You said the writing was shit, but so.
The writing's not great, but I mean, you know, you're going to get what you came for. So.
You know what you signed up for.
Right. Exactly. All right. So interesting fact, this book was actually supposed to be on the previous two seasons. It keeps getting bumped. It kept getting bumped for various reasons, but mostly it kept getting bumped because we were really busy and Molly was like, I don't know if I want to take on that book. But we finally read it for this time, and we actually really liked it. But I want to hear what your thoughts on the world building and the writing were.
So I didn't hate the world building. Like, I will give credit to the author on that. I did like how she set things up. I like how the history was told. I did enjoy the world building. We kind of all know Cinderella. We all know Walt Disney's Cinderella. Right. So, you know, that's kind of what I had in mind. And I know
the
one from
Into the Woods.
Right. Yeah. So we all kind of, it wasn't like they had to build it from scratch, like where we see like Rebecca Yarros or Sarah J. Maas, like those ones that have these completely off the wall worlds. So we all kind of knew it, but I do think the author did a good job. As far as the writing itself goes, I felt like the main character, Sophia, for a lack of a better term, and I know the Gen Zers or whatever will come for me, but I felt like she was a simp, I believe is the term. Like, bitch was not starting a revolution. Okay? Like, she did not have it to start a revolution. Like, I was just like, this is not, she just wasn't strong enough for me. She's not Katniss. And I know Katniss can't be the barometer for everybody, but you can't put a YA book out there and not have Katniss be the barometer.
100%.
So, yeah. So that's how I felt. How'd you feel about it?
I liked her world building too. I thought it was interesting that 200 years later, the community, the village, the world that existed was still very much the same, other than it had become more dystopian and more aggressive against women. But I thought that was an interesting choice, because 200 years, if you think about 200 years in the United States, for example, our country was founded in the 1700s. Like, we became a true country in the 1700s. 200 years later, we did not look the same. Right. There's a lot of growth that happens in 200 years. So the fact that this kept it looking more like Cinderella's time, I thought that was an interesting choice. Because even if you were back in the 1500s, 1600s, whatever, 200 years, there's so much technology. I don't mean like computers, but technology. Still, right. Yeah. And so I thought that was an interesting choice. I liked her writing. I would definitely read her again. And I actually bought this book and her duology that she has a while ago. I bought all three of them because there is a TikToker, I'll link her below. She's an African-American woman who's a librarian. And a lot of her page is about how she doesn't look like a librarian. So people, you know, people say to her, well, you can't be a librarian because you're Black, because you're, you know, this and that. And she gives great recommendations. And so she recommended these. And so I was happy to read it. And I liked it. I do not like the character of Constance. I really had an issue with the attitude that she just hung on to. She had no growth.
Why does bitch have such a chip on her shoulder?
Such a chip on her shoulder.
Like, I'm sorry that you are so angry. And yeah, that was one of the complaints that I had, was like, she just had such a chip on her shoulder. And
she, yeah.
Yeah.
There was no like rationalization for why she was like that.
Right. Yep.
And that to me, like, this is the author's first book. I'm interested to see how her characters grow in her duology, because I do really want to read those. I think I'm going to read them probably between December and January.
Yeah.
While we're on a pod break, but I do think that that will be interesting to see, because this was her first book. And so I don't know that, you know, there's a finesse that comes.
Yeah. I'm not planning on reading anything more by her. It just didn't like, and I love, I love when people of color, authors of color, really embrace, like, and I go back to Nikki, because she's like the best. I feel like this character, they didn't, I don't, and maybe it was because it was medieval or whatever, but I don't feel like they embraced it enough. So that's, because I feel like this could have been, she could have whitewashed it and we wouldn't have. And I wanted her to play up, like, you're an author of color and I don't understand your experiences. So I want you to put that into your reading or into your writing. Well, so
that's actually a good transition to our next question, because she does lean into some heavy themes, including homophobia mm-hmm. and the unfair treatment of women. So on Pod, we've read several of books with this theme as well. Did you read The Gracier?
I did. I really liked that. That one I really liked.
So good.
Yeah.
And that one was just, I think, last season, and it was Chezzy was our guest star. And that one was just, that was really good.
I really liked that one.
So how do you feel like she did incorporating some of these like heavy themes into what is essentially like a fairy tale?
Right.
Like, she definitely didn't lean into like the race side of things.
Yeah. And I guess like if she, you know, I don't want to speak for the author, so I don't know where she's coming from, but I think she could have done definitely more with it. The homophobia was interesting, was how she took it. Especially because, you know, in medieval times, sometimes in the higher courts, nobody cared. You know, the more money you had, they didn't care what you did. But, you know, with her neighbor also being gay, I wish they would have kind of played up more that there were more people in the community. Mm-hmm. And she was like, oh, okay, like I'm not the only person there. Mm-hmm. Putting the sexism against women, that one was, I really felt like it was more violence against women versus just sexism. Like there was a lot of, you know, there was a, when the seamstress gets beat up, that's hard. And mm-hmm. like, you know, when we talk about Erin gets beat up her first night with her spoiler with her fiance, you know, and mm-hmm. so there was a lot of violence against women, and it didn't really talk about like the oppression of it did a little bit, like women can't hold property, they have to, you know, there's a man that's ahead of whole household, but they didn't really talk about more about like the oppression of them, like how women were oppressed in that society versus just violence against women.
I wish that she would have leaned more into the queer story here as well.
Yeah.
Because I think this book is a great story to say, this is why they're being told to stay in the closet, right? Mm-hmm. This is, mm-hmm. you can't come out. It's not safe.
Yeah.
But she does learn at least four characters in this book. Well, five, if you count the character that we never meet, who's the boyfriend of the neighbor, Jacob.
Yeah.
There are at least four characters in this book who are queer.
Yep.
And you don't lean into that more. Like, I feel like that's where the story was. And mm-hmm. what I wanted to see, have you ever seen the movie? What's it called? Give me one second. It has Mandy Moore in it and Macaulay Culkin.
Mandy Moore and Macaulay Culkin?
Mm-hmm.
What?
Yeah. It's actually a really good fucking movie. It is called Saved. Have you ever seen Saved? All right. So I'll link info below, but it's got in it Mandy Moore, Macaulay Culkin. It has, who else?
Oh, Jenna
Malone.
Yes. Is she a cheerleader? And
no.
Okay, just kidding. Then.
It takes place at a Christian school, and she's like the good Christian girl, and Jenna plays a girl who gets pregnant because her boyfriend is gay.
Yes, I have seen it. Yes, and so they have sex to see if he is gay. Yes, I have seen that.
She's convinced that if she has sex with him, that will cure him.
Yes, I have seen that. Yeah, gayness. I didn't realize Macaulay Culkin was in that. So
yeah, he plays the character in the wheelchair.
Oh, okay, yeah,
yeah.
It's all coming back to me now. Yeah.
Susan Sarandon's daughter's in it.
Yes, yes.
It's a really great
movie.
But it ends with, like, everyone that went to queer camp,
yeah,
was forced to go to this, they all invade the prom.
Yes.
And that's the uprising at the end of this. That could have been the story.
Yes.
The uprising could have been the queer community coming together and taking down the king.
Mm-hmm.
And it just, the ending is just not good. Like,
yeah.
I can't defend the ending. It's nothing there.
Mm-mm. No.
All right. So Sophia is absolutely, quote unquote, in love with her best friend, Aaron, when this book starts. Although Aaron seems to reciprocate the feelings. She wants to follow through with being married off at the ball to make her parents proud because queer relationships are unwelcome in the kingdom. Do you think that Sophia loved Aaron truly, or was Aaron just the only queer person she knew?
I think Aaron was the only queer person she knew because she, like, flipped to Constance real
so
quick. Like, I scrolled back through and I was like, what is the timeline on this book? Because she's, like, talking about how she's madly and, like,
yeah,
and all these things with Constance and looking at her and all this stuff. And I'm like, girl, you were just head over heels for
and
Aaron.
It happens, like, instantly. Like, when
yes,
they go to the ball, yes, she's still in love with Aaron. And it reminded me so much of Romeo and Juliet when Romeo starts the beginning that he's so in love with Rosalind, right?
Yeah.
He's so in love with Rosalind. And then he meets Juliet. And everyone's just like, dude, 5
Rosalind
seconds ago,
who?
You're in love with Rosalind.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. 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 And I feel like, I don't know, I couldn't decide if I liked Erin or if I hated her. Part of the story, I was like, okay, you know, she's got a lot going on. She doesn't want to disappoint her parents. Mm-hmm. I don't feel like we got enough of a backstory of Erin, too.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like, does she have siblings? Is she an only child? Like, we don't find out that Liv has 2 younger sisters until after she's dead.
Right.
And you're like, that could have been important to know. Like,
one of the things I think would have made this book better in general is if it were a series and not a standalone. There's more story that we just don't get.
Yeah, yeah. But then it would drag, and then it would be way more we'd have to read. And
I would read. I would live in this world for longer. I liked
Mm-mm.
it.
Nope, nope. Mm-mm. One and done for me, yeah.
Fair.
Yeah.
All right, before the ball, Sophia learns that her neighbor's son, Jacob, who frequently chauffeurs her, is also gay.
Mm-hmm.
Jacob shares with Sophia that there can be another way to live. So when Sophia sees him at the ball and he offers to marry her, Sophia is shocked. What do you think about this storyline?
Okay,
Jacob?
So who the fuck is Luke then?
Oh,
because
is that his name?
Luke, yes. But here's the thing.
Fucking hell, April.
I was like, because there's a character named Jacob in here. Like, let me scroll. Like, we somehow, like, is there, like, a switch? Yeah, I was like, wait, who's, because Luke
is the
guy
neighbor?
Who offers to marry her.
Oh, maybe Jacob is the boyfriend, Luke's boyfriend, who we never actually see. Or maybe
no.
I made that up because I did not have the book in front of me when I was writing these questions.
Yeah,
because
I was like, I don't think his name's Jacob. Because Luke is the one who wants to marry her. Yeah.
Okay, my bad.
But then I was like, wait a minute. Mr. Langley, a friend of my father's, has a son who's agreed to drive our carriage. He meets us. Climb up to him. Let's see here. Quite handsome, isn't he? Yeah, because I was like, who the fuck's Jacob?
It's definitely Luke.
It's Luke. Bad. Okay, that's okay. I was just like, Sarah, did I miss somebody? So, okay, I totally missed it. Can you repeat the question with Luke instead of Jacob?
Sure. Before the ball, Sophia learns that her neighbor's son, Luke,
yes,
who frequently chauffeurs her, is also gay.
Yes.
Luke shares with Sophia that there can be another way to live. So when Sophia sees him at the ball and he offers to marry her, Sophia is shocked. What did you think of the storyline?
I liked this. Yes. So I wanted this to happen. I was super bummed because I thought Luke could be a really good ally. Like, you know, it's her beard. And I feel like Luke could have really been someone that they could have brought in and been an ally and been like, okay, look, I'm going to link you with other people. Like, and lean more heavily into that. Like I hated the fact that they just, he was gone and he was taken away. Yeah. So,
and then later we learned that he was actually imprisoned by the king and he's like near death. I wanted more of his story. Like, I feel like the two of them getting married just because that's what the system required. And then them leading an uprising. That's the story I wanted.
Yep. I would have loved that. That I feel like that would have been, I would have enjoyed that more than the story that we had. So.
I'm not going to disagree with you because I think you're right on that. But I did like the story. I didn't like Constance, and that was hard for me because like, that's the main, like that's the character that's driving.
Right.
The revolution. It's not Sophia.
No, it's Constance. Like, big time. And I think that was some of the problem that I had with this whole book is the main character just wasn't, she didn't have the drive. She just wanted to leave. Like, how many times did she say she just wanted to leave? She just wanted to get out of the country. Like, she didn't want to do anything. She just wanted to leave. She just wanted to leave. She just wanted to leave. And
she didn't want to make it better for other people. She just wanted to run off.
She was very selfish. Like, a lot of the times, you know, she says, well, what about what I want? What about what I want? And I get that. Like, sometimes when you are 16, you have to realize, like, but then on the same token, if you're going to start a huge fire and like light shit up, you better be prepared that everybody around you is going to get warm too. Like, you can't just like be like, oh, it's just me. You know what I mean? So I felt like Sophia was very selfish, very, very selfish. So
That's definitely where the Grace here got this whole thing right, because the partner that the main character gets matched to is an ally. She's not queer, but it is an ally in the injustices of the way the women were being treated.
I liked
All right. When Sophia meets Constance in Cinderella's tomb, she learns the startling truth that the king and his predecessors have lied to the people about the true story of Cinderella. Sophia blindly believes Constance and agrees to help her overturn the king. Did you trust Constance?
No, sure didn't. Like, it just was a little too sus. Like, I don't know. I feel like Constance got by on, like, a smile and a wink a lot of the times. And I think she kind of manipulated Sophia more than she should have, as opposed to, like, showing Sophia, like, here are the documents. This, like, let me show you what I have. You know, she carried it in her bag or whatever, but she didn't, like, show it to Sophia until they were with the fairy godmother, like in the woods. Like, she didn't bring that to her in the early. And I feel like that could have been a real big point. She could have trusted her. Well, she takes her
to their house.
Yeah.
But I agree with you. I thought the twist was going to be that Constance was somehow involved in this world.
Same.
I actually was really surprised to find out that Amina was involved, which is a spoiler.
I was very disappointed. Yeah.
It kind of reminded me of the Shadow and Bone series. Was it? Mm-hmm. Is that what it's called? Yeah. The Shadow and Bone series, because the Darkling's mom. Yeah.
Was the mentor. Yeah.
It kind of reminded me of that. But I was kind of surprised that Amina was involved. I thought for sure Constance was.
I was, so we were at the theater last night and I was reading and I went, when I read the part that when he called her mother and I like looked around and I was like, thank God I'm in this lobby by myself. Like, it was sort of like, oh no. So
I think I was reading it at work. So I can't read at the desk like I could at my previous job. So I have been reading the ebooks on my phone because I'm not sitting there with a book, you know. So anyway, I think that's what I was doing. So I was just kind of like in my head, fucking hell. So on to the next one. Sophia begins to fall for Constance over the course of this book. This plot, I've already said this, it bothered me. It reminded me of Romeo and Juliet. And I think we can probably move on because you've already said you didn't like it either.
I didn't. Like, I felt like it was too fast. And I think especially this is a YA book. I think she could have gone a lot more into the internal conflict that Sophia had. Like, wow, like, I do notice this new girl and I see her, but wow, like Erin was mm-hmm. my first love. And like, I feel like mm-hmm. there, she could have really played up because I think LGBTQ kids don't realize that love looks the same, whether mm-hmm. it's heterosexual, homosexual, mm-hmm. if it's fluid, whatever, like heartbreak, figuring out what you like, that all looks the same. And I think mm-hmm. she could have played that up and been like a good person to introduce some of these kids to, like, hey, your first heartbreak is going to hurt like hell, mm-hmm. whether it's a girl, whether it's a boy, whatever. So mm-hmm. instead of just moving on. Yeah.
Yeah. And I didn't like the fact that there wasn't a real, she's attracted to Constance, mm-hmm. but there's no connection there.
Mm-hmm. It's like, all physical. Erin's
her,
yeah.
Erin's her best friend. Mm-hmm. They have a foundation that is so much deeper. And for her to mm-hmm. all of a sudden say to Constance, I never thought I could feel like anyone else the way I felt about Erin until I met you. What was the basis of that other than mm-hmm. like her body and her face
right.
and the fact that she has crazy red hair?
Yeah. Like, it was all physical attraction. So, mm-hmm. yeah. Yep.
Yeah. Sophia and Constance set off for the Dark Forest to find the true fairy godmother, only to find Amina, a potentially 300-year-old witch. Amina takes the girls in, hides them from the king, and helps them prepare to defeat him. But we learn later, as we've already said, that she also helped Prince Charming get Cinderella as the bride, and she helped him become king. So she's not quite the good person that she is thought to be, that she's not really a fairy godmother. She is a witch. Mm-hmm. And as it turns out, she's the king's mom.
Yeah. She was not bibbity boppity boo in it. Yeah.
No, but they do use that quote in there.
I know. Sophia's
like, can you just bibbity boppity boo it? And she's like, that's not really how it works.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I liked Amina's character. I mm-hmm. actually did. I felt like she was very remorseful, and I did not see the twist of her being the mom to the king. Mm-hmm. Like, and mm-hmm. she owned the fact, like, I put them on the throne. Like, it was a long time ago, and like, I screwed up, and like, it was not a good choice, but I want to help you. And I want to make sure that you know, this doesn't happen again. So when mm-hmm. I found out that she was in cahoots, I was like, oh, I didn't see that one coming. Yeah. So,
however, I did suspect that she had to die in order for the king to die, because they set that up
yep.
of like being tied to somebody's life. Mm-hmm. And she sees her own death when they're like in the pond or whatever,
stream
or whatever. And so I was like, 100%, she has to die.
Yeah.
It's interesting that the author chose not to have her kill herself. She had Amina put the knife into Sophia's hand while she was leaning forward, so it went through her.
Yep. Yeah.
That was an interesting choice.
I had to read that scene like 4 times, though. Like, mm-hmm. it like wasn't registering in my brain, and it might have been because I was like way tired, but I was like, what is going on? Like, I was super confused. I was like, okay, she's got it in it. Okay, yeah. Like, you know, you like have to like literally think about it. It's like when you get a sex scene that you're like, how does this
just thinking that.
This doesn't yeah. Your but leg goes where? Like,
penises, because he's inserted in 2 different places. I don't think that makes sense.
The tentacles are where? Like, yeah. But that, kids, is Smut Girl Summer. Not
this. Oh, we did get a recommendation for Smut Girl Summer, by the way.
Yes. I love this.
Molly's friend, Leslie, recommended a book for us. I put it on my TBR. So it is Pucking Around.
Oh, I've heard this one's on the Instagrams and the Tickety Talks.
Mm-hmm. I'm telling you, the hockey romances. I mean,
where did those come from?
I don't know, but they know how to use their sticks. That's for sure. Listen, Bowling Green, where I went to school, that's a huge hockey community. It's a huge skating community. I don't know if you know this, but the figure skater, Scott Hamill, is from there.
Oh, I did not know that.
Mm-hmm.
See, that and ratchets it up even more for Cecilia. She's looking at me, G, so.
I know. I want her to go there. I want her to go there so she can be a falcon like me. Yeah, there's actually a road named after him in Bowling Green, and I lived on it. And then, totally random story, I was in L.A. visiting some family for spring break, and we went to, like, stand outside of one of those big movie premieres at, like, the Chinese theater.
Yeah.
And Scott Hamill walked out, and I was like, I live on your road!
Did he acknowledge you?
He was like, what? I was like, I got Bowling Green and I live on your road!
Security.
Always playing it cool. Always playing it cool. The night of the cotillion, Sophia goes back to the palace to kill the king. Yeah, this gets bad. While there, Manfred immediately recognized her. I was like, why does she think this plan's going to work? Of course he recognizes you.
Would, like, all of the guards who were literally just on, like, did they have an entire turnover of king's guards in the last 3.5 weeks that this happened?
And it's not like ever after the Drew Barrymore Cinderella story where she's, like, in a mask or whatever. Right. Or even Cinderella story with Hilary Duff. She's not hiding herself at all. I was like, what the fuck? Why do they think this is gonna work?
Right.
He pulls her out of the ball, and she attempts to kill him, but he doesn't die because he can't.
He's immortal. Yeah.
Yeah. The rest of the ending. He's not immortal, but he can't die yet. The rest of the ending kind of gets murky, but so let's start there. What are your thoughts on that whole thing? I second that bell.
It just was like, what? And then, like, then he's, like, sucking her soul, and then she's in a cell, and then there happens to be the random other freedom fighter in the cell beside her, and then she's able to break out, and then...
Using a bobby pin.
Of course. Of course. Mm-hmm. What? What?
And then very conveniently, she ends up in Cinderella's old room and finds the journal they've been looking for all this time.
Happens to go up the stairs. Because why would the princess's, like, or the queen's chambers be above the dungeon with access?
Girl, I don't know.
I have read a lot of fairy tales. That shit don't happen like that. Like, what? Mm-mm. What? Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I thought the ending was...
such a letdown. Yeah.
And we learned from Amina that Manfred is Prince Charming, so he's been alive this whole time, and like you said, the soul-sucking that he's doing. And she doesn't say that... she says that she doesn't know how he's been doing it.
Lies.
Yeah, I'm not sure if I believe her or not, because later, when the ending's happening, she says she didn't know what he was doing and that she'd actually witnessed it now, so now she understood. But but it turns out that Manfred is, like, literally sucking the life out of people. It's similar to Mexican Gothic. Did you read that one?
I did not. That one I was like, no, thank you. Because that was, it's like,
good.
Yeah. No, thanks.
That was our first season.
Yeah.
That was our first season. So were you surprised that he was doing this to the women?
No. I thought, like, because of all these forfeits, I knew he was doing something. And then when they brought up the necromancy, I was like, oh, something's happened with, like, life force and stuff like that. And then when they were talking about when Sophia saw her vision of her light or whatever, I was like, that's how he's doing it. He's, like, literally soul sucking. So
I thought the interesting part was that Constance had that fairy tale, the story, the original story, not what the king had released. And it looks like they're kissing, but it's not. Their mouths are not touching, and there's that light. So somebody had witnessed it in order to write that.
Yep. Yeah. And I think, too, they say, like, Cinderella's hands were clenched and everything, and, like, her gaze was off. So yeah, somebody who was recording history saw that and was like, something ain't right. So.
But the weird thing is that book was passed through Constance's family. So like that's never rectified. If somebody witnessed it in order to make the book and that's been passed through Constance's family, then she should have known what was happening.
Yeah.
That would have been a story that went with it.
Yeah.
I mean, now I'm thinking maybe I didn't like this book as much as I did.
It's okay. You can change your Goodreads. They let you do that.
I know they do, but I'm not going to. All right, let's talk about the epilogue. Constance becomes the head of basically a cabinet to change the laws. It felt messy to me. What were your thoughts?
Did we establish how old Constance is?
I mean, I'm assuming that she's like Sophia's age.
So all of these dudes who've been in charge for forever are just going to be like, this sounds totally plausible. Let's put a 17-year-old in charge of everything.
Right.
Just get rid of all the rules. Like, I loved how they were like, they fought some rules, but then we just got rid of all of them. Like, she just like glossed over that detail. Like,
yeah,
the last 200 years of history, we just got rid of it. Like,
before the epilogue, when there's like a mob of men that like come and try to challenge it, and they're basically like, step off.
Yeah,
and he does. No,
be that's like, not gonna happen. Totally okay. All of my privileges, no problem. I'll just turn them in. No big deal.
At least when you have a book like The Hunger Games, they explain how everything was changed. Mm-hmm. They had a leader who was put in, and then, of course, Katniss kills her, and then they vote somebody in.
Yep.
But there becomes a process of change. It's not just, we're going to change all of this.
Yeah, and we're going to put a 17-year-old in charge of everything.
No. That wouldn't happen. Hell to the no. Especially, and if it would be a woman, like, I would love to see the women be part of the leadership, but I don't think that they're going to be the whole leadership.
No, I agree, because, like, there are still things that the men who had been governing and were women defenders, like her dad was, like, supportive of her for the most part until he kicked her out, but that's a whole nother. But, like, there were some good men that were like, no, like, why would you not include them as an example of like, hey, this is what we're going to do. So,
and Liv's dad seems to be like that too.
Yeah. Yeah.
Even though he wasn't like, I feel like there's an education difference between, there's a socioeconomic difference. And a lot of times education comes with socioeconomic. Mm-hmm. And Liv's family still thought that a fairy godmother would come and get her ready for the ball.
Yeah. Yeah.
But we see him say, I won't have to send my other two. Like, correct. This is good.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, and so I feel like I feel like there would have been other men along that same vine that could have helped, other than just saying, we're going to let a 17-year-old girl run the place. So,
and then maybe years later you have a woman in leadership, but not right away. Like, that's not.
That's not how any of this works.
No. And it's not because I don't think that women should be leaders. It's just, it's not plausible that you're going to deconstruct this entire system. Government.
Right.
Without men being involved in it.
Because, like, they are still 50% of the population. Like, it's still.
And they're still beating their wives. Like, they're not going to just stop doing that because a little girl told them to.
Right. Yeah. Agreed. Yeah. The ending was just like super, super a letdown. Like,
I came very close to rating 3.5 instead of 4 because of that ending. Because
that's what took it from a 3 to a 2 for me.
Yeah. Yeah. I was totally engrossed in this book. I didn't want to stop reading it. It was a story that really I was excited about. But then I get to the end and I'm like, what happened?
Yeah. Yeah. It's like, I just was like, that was such a throwaway. Mm-hmm. And it's like, did she hit a word count? And then she was like, okay, done. Epilogue.
Yeah.
Wrap it up. Yeah. So, and now, you know, I don't want to read anything more by her, but I am curious when you do read more by her, is this how she ends her books? Or was this her first book and she wasn't sure? Yeah. And like, did she not have a good editor or what? But not enough that I want to read more by her. So.
Yeah, I'll have to tell you, because I will be reading the other ones. And it's Bloomsbury YA, which is actually a really, that's part of Macmillan. So it's a good publisher that she had. Yeah. I don't know who her editor was. I'm sure I could find it in her notes. But yeah, I mean, I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know. All right, last question. So there are several nods to, in this book, to Disney retellings and original fairy tales and also the Grimm's brothers, but they actually are sisters in this book. So what did you think about incorporating these details?
I like those. So like, if you ever go back and like read the Grimms, they're so dark.
They're so dark.
They're not like warm and fuzzy and Disney. Mm-mm. So I like that they kind of, that she nodded to both of them. I do love that her dress was blue. Because like Cinderella is one of my favorite, like I love the pink dress that she wears that the sisters tear apart, that the mice make. Like, that's always been one of my favorite Disney scenes. And then the blue dress is just so iconic. And so it's iconic. I just love that the character, or that they put the main character in that, because you could see the shoulders and her hair and the sparkles and everything. I was like, oh. Because we all want to wear the Cinderella dress, but
100%.
Yeah. But yeah, I liked how she nodded to that, so.
Yeah, I liked that. And then she had Snow White in there as well. And I liked that she talked about in the story that the king releases, the wicked stepsisters are like left out and their eyes are pecked out. That's the Grimm story.
Correct.
And then cutting off part of their feet to try to fit into the shoes. Slipper. Also the Grimms. And if you are a fan of musicals, Into the Woods, they stick more closer to Grimm's with that. But I mean, I think it's interesting because these fairy tales, they were in oral history, right? So they were passed down, they were incorporated in villages, and then the stories were passed down. Grimm's brothers were like kind of the first to write them down. They're not the only ones. Hans Christian Andersen is another one that was big on writing down fairy tales. His stuff's really dark as well. Because these were not supposed to be happily ever afters. They were supposed to be
cautionary tales.
When I went to Germany in college as part of my backpacking Europe thing, and we visited the Black Forest, which is the setting for Hansel and Gretel. And I 100% understand how somebody could get lost in there. So easily. It really is dark and creepy. And I was there on a fall day. So, well, no, I wasn't. I was there in April. Well, it still hadn't like bloomed everything yet. So there were like all the leaves weren't up. So I could see a little bit better. But yeah, I mean, that place is dark. Like, I get it.
There is a wicked witch that will feed you, or that will eat you. 100%. If you eat her gingerbread house. Yeah.
Sure. 100%. I didn't make it to the top, so I didn't see the gingerbread house. My hiking companions like to go really fast. I don't do things fast. I talk fast. That's about it. And I like to take in scenery. So I don't hike fast.
Yeah.
And so they went all the way to the top, because it's a big hill, the Black Forest. It's on the top. It goes all the way to the top of a hill. They went to the top, and I made it like halfway. And then I was like, how do I go back? Because I'm all done.
This shit's spooky, and I ain't going further.
Yeah. I don't need to find the witch. Any final thoughts?
I'm glad I got to read it. I'm glad I got to spend time with you. I hope Molly feels better. But...
Those are all good thoughts.
Yeah, it's a nerve for me, dog. Yeah.
Ugh, whatever. All right, well, so I've got to give an update. I went live on TikTok to share this as well. We are not going to have an episode next week, the week of Thanksgiving, American Thanksgiving. If you are Canadian fans or you live in Europe and you don't have Thanksgiving, it's American Thanksgiving next week. And because Molly is sick and because I have to go elsewhere for Thanksgiving, we need to take a break. So we're taking a week off and we're not covering Icebreaker in November. However, it will be our first book in December. So I'm going to show you all the books that we're covering for the month of December. So we're starting with Icebreaker. And you know what? Let me pull up the schedule because we also changed the schedule a little bit. And I don't want to give you all the wrong order. But I know this one's first. And I'm reading it right now. And it's very smutty. College Hockey Man.
College Hockey Man.
The goalie of our hockey team in Bowling Green was in one of my classes my freshman year. Why he was in a freshman class when he was senior is fucking beyond me. But the dude came in and just slept through class. Attendance was like part of our grade, so he came and he just slept.
Did you read the L. Kennedys? The whole hockey team, girl, one of those?
We read the first one together.
I read the rest of them. I have them
all back here. So I haven't finished them yet. I have The Legacy to go. Mm-hmm. The one that combines all the stories. And then do you know that there's a spinoff series?
Uh-huh.
It's their kids. Have you read the ones that are their kids? I haven't read those yet. Those are on my shelf too. So we're starting with this one. This will be December 3rd, Icebreaker. Then we are going to talk about this book, The Matzah Ball by Jean Meltzer. Because we're doing winter romances, and this is, you know, we don't want to only do Christmas. So we've got a Jewish holiday in there. So the matzah ball.
That looks super cute. I might have to get that one. Just because I like that cover.
Cute too.
I think it looks Isn't super it cute? Cute. Yeah. I love a good Jewish mother story.
It's the Hanukkah event of the season and the feud of the century.
Love it.
So that we're doing that, and then we're doing Love Light Farms by BK Borison, which I've heard amazing things about. And I love her covers. Like, all her covers have this sort of look to it. So cute. And then we are doing Christmas with the Queen, which I do not have a copy of. Tom, can you just put it right here? Christmas with the Queen is written by Heather Webb and Hazel Grace. Nope, that's The Fault in Our Stars. Hazel Gaynor. We interviewed Heather Webb at Annapolis Book Festival earlier this year. This is her and her writing partner, Christmas with the Queen. It's going to be our Christmas Eve episode. It's a new book. It actually just came out this month of November, so you can pick that up. And then we're going to end the month with Always in December. I don't have that one either. You can put that right here. And Molly will be doing that one. And we potentially are going to have another guest. We cannot say who that is yet. We're still trying to work out details. But we're trying, guys. We're trying. So that's what we got going on. And then we take a break.
Yay.
I know. It's going to be a good rest of the season. Romance is my favorite. So
yeah.
And then when we come back, we're going to do one episode in January where we have a guest. And then we'll do a month of romance reads.
So, love it. It's so much fun. It's been a good season this season. I've enjoyed it. It's my Tuesday morning. I get to talk to my friends. I talk to you guys like you're there. I
love that you like live text us.
Yes. Because they'll be like, what the hell are you talking about? And I'm like, it's Tuesday. New episode. I'm talking to you guys.
Well, every Tuesday morning, we all greet each other with Happy Pod Day.
Happy Pod Day. I have to spell it. My Siri doesn't understand pod. She puts pot normally, so I have to say Happy P-O-D Day.
Every day is Happy Pod Day.
You know, eat your greens. Thanks, Cecilia. I'm using my daughter's computer. I'm pretty sure she has a sticker on it that says eat your greens. My 16-year-old. Killing it.
Great. Well, that's all I've got. Hopefully Molly will be back when we film Icebreaker. I mean, otherwise we can have Smut Girl Summer in the winter.
Yes. Ooh, what could we call it? Whoring It Up Winter? No, that's not good.
Warm Up Your Winter.
Wet and Wild Winter.
Oh my gosh.
And on that note,
I guess we're done. We'll see you next time, besties.
Bye.
Thank you for joining us on Book Besties with special guest Nurse Katie. Don't forget to like and subscribe. The views discussed here are those of April and Katie, not those of anyone else. Today's book was Cinderella is Dead by Kaylin Bayron. Your book besties are Molly Biggs and April Watkins, editing by Thomas Watkins, and music is Sleep Sweetly by Prigida. Don't forget to follow the Book Besties on Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, and YouTube. If you'd like to contact the Book Besties, please email us at bookbestiespod@gmail.com or visit our website, bookbestiespodcast.com. Until next time, besties, get lost in your favorite book.